Ladies and gentlemen, let's get this party started. Welcome, everybody, to the June 2016 SVCB meeting. And you're probably thinking, why the heck is he up here? Well, there's a good reason for it. Susan and John are visiting family in Nebraska. Alice is at the Braille Institute Braille Challenge contest. And Diane is busy taking minutes, so you're going to have to put up with me today. Okay, so we'll get things rolling as we usually do with our introductions. And before we, there's going to be a second before we get the mic, so everybody remember to purchase your, make your picnic reservations. That's the sooner you do that, the better. So, all right, I'll start off. I'm Rob Turner, immediate past president.
Diane Harms, recording secretary, and Morty is under my chair.
Hi, this is Vic Clifford, treasurer.
Mike Keesley, membership chair, legislation chair.
Oh, me?
Yeah. I hear you. I understand.
Hi, this is Perla. I'm from Las Gatas.
Alan Jones from Santa Clara.
Oh, you're waiting for me? Who am I? Roger Peterson, I think. And Bernice wants to know if anybody can transfer some material on old-fashioned vinyl records onto a CD. Thank you.
Don.
Did you get?
Okay.
Just say your name.
Pam Rao. I live here in the complex.
Don Wilcox, Palo Alto.
Good morning, it's Nancy from Sunnyvale.
This is Carol Ann Owens from Mountain View, and I hope everybody has a good day.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone. This is John Kanzi here, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the sixth SVCB SVCB meeting of 2016. And I'm welcoming my brother Mike and my mother Mary, including. And I hope everybody has a good day.
Thank you. Hi there. You got Charlie Stein on the line, otherwise known as the Crusher from Palo Alto. Thank you.
Excuse me. Lorraine Brown from San Jose.
This is Bev Clifford from San Jose, the goodies chairs person, and I'd like to thank Naomi for the goodies today. They are wonderful.
This is Michelle and Garvey, and we're from Mountain View, and I'm fundraising chair.
Suzanne Smith from Sunnyvale.
John McNulty from Sunnyvale, board member.
Barbara Dickinson, Mountain View.
John Vandervoort and Chase from San Jose.
Good morning, everybody. Ruben Armenta from Santa Clara, and it's a beautiful morning.
Beautiful day.
Patricia Silva from Cupertino.
Joe Silva from Cupertino.
Good morning. This is Patrick Wilkins. I'm from San Jose. I'm a board member, and I'm also the chair of the Braille Literacy Committee.
Frank Brown, Cupertino. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And Sunday morning, I'm going to be watching a Giants game at 10 a.m. My daughter's coming over, barbecue ribs and salmon. 5 o'clock, Warriors basketball, and then Game of Thrones at 9 o'clock. That's my day for Father's Day.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shankar Venkataraman. I'm from Cupertino.
Mary Castellano from Santa Clara.
Tom, did I get you?
Oh. Hello, this is late Donna from San Jose. And thank you very much, volunteer and Steve, for doing the lunches while I was not here.
Yeah, I'm Sudha Rajagopalan. I'm from Cupertino.
I do. Yeah. Okay. Once you get that to Bev. Oh, and I'm Kira, a volunteer from Pali and part-time auctioneer.
All right, great. Welcome, everybody. We've got a pretty good turnout here. Let's go ahead and turn this meeting over to Beth to oh, Naomi didn't
Naomi's
introduce.
Here, but
yeah,
she was...
we can't have that. Yay. And Steve, we didn't hear from Steve.
Yeah,
oh, well, okay. Yeah, so he's here. So, all right, well, let's I'm going to turn this mic over to Bev, and she's going to introduce our program.
Today, our speaker is our very own chapter member, Sudha Rajagopalan. Those of us who participate in Vista Center's monthly hiking group, which does not include me, by the way, are already familiar with her warm and positive energy. She's an active volunteer for Access Braille, a nonprofit organization to educate visually impaired people around the world, often by providing Braille and large print textbooks in multiple languages. A former corporate leader, Sudha has transitioned to becoming a harikata. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but anyway, storyteller and musician. She worked as a software professional for over two decades in many leading organizations in Silicon Valley, such as BMA Software, PeopleSoft, and Pac Bell. In 2008, her partial visual impairment forced an end to her corporate career, but it simultaneously marked the beginning of her musical career as a harikata. And Sudha's presentation is going to be really wonderful, I think, multifaceted. We're going to hear about her childhood in South India and Access Braille and her practice as a storyteller and musician. So let's all give her one of our rousing SVCB welcome.
Thank you. Kayena vacha manase indriyerva buddhya atmanava prakrute swabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami satya narayanayeti samarpayami sai narayanayeti samarpayami hari om tat sat. I offer my prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of my guru Bhagawan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, and my loving salutations to all of you, my sisters and brothers here. I was thinking about what is it that I would be talking to you, who are all the veterans here, who have gone through this journey of having lost vision from the very young age or at a later point in your lives. And there are so many of you sighted people here who are helping the visually impaired all the time. So the word that came to me was sight. Many a times I have felt sight is an overrated thing. But the sight that I'm going to talk about today is an acronym for something that I've learned, especially after my vision loss. The S in the sight is for surrender. When I first lost my vision in 2008, and you know, on April 23rd, I was at work, but 24th, I couldn't go to work in 2008, and that was my last day at work. And I was struggling with the fact that I had a lot of time but couldn't do many things that I used to be able to do. I was complaining to the Lord quite a bit. you know, when I was working, I didn't have time to do anything, any service to others. But I have all the time in the world, but I cannot do anything. Why have you put me in this situation? You know, almost, I didn't particularly complain about the fact that I lost vision and I'm not, you know, but I was more thinking about the fact that even when I have so much time, I'm not able to do anything. And at the time I had, you know, I used to listen to a lot of talks from the spiritual masters. And from one of the gurus, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, I heard that you drop all your complaints and the divine grace will flow through you. And I just did that. And wonder of wonders, you know, I've been meeting with these group of people all the time and we do Vedic chants, the ancient scriptures, according to the Hindu dharma. So, but then none of them asked me to teach them or anything like that. But after I dropped the complaints, one of my friends came to me and said, will you teach us this? Whatever chants you're doing, will you teach us those verses? I said, yes. I was not proficient in that in terms of, I was not a scholar, Sanskrit scholar, or I did not know scriptures. I had not read the scriptures for many years or anything like that. But when the first opportunity came to me, I said, yes, I will embrace it. So once I surrendered, I started having a group of people come to my house every day, group of ladies in the afternoon, and they would learn Vedas. We would learn together. I knew I was only an instrument. And the fact that I had so many of my friends come over to me, my day was filled with, you know, tasks to do. And I felt a purpose. Even when I was in the corporate world, I always used to think that, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, making money for the company, which is not a bad thing. But at the same time, somewhere I felt that I needed to work for a non-profit or I needed to do something that would have an impact in everybody's life. You know, a product that you make somewhere, and I don't know whether it really is making it better for the people, but I witnessed when I taught my friends, I witnessed that whatever they learned, it was transforming, life transforming for them. And they would come and profusely thank me for whatever little that I had done. So I learned the lesson that by surrendering, by accepting the situation that you are in, then the new doors absolutely open for you. The next letter is I, that is in the now, be in the now. The most valuable lesson I would say that I have learned with vision loss is being mindful. You know, earlier I would be cooking in the kitchen, but I would be simultaneously on the phone or I would be having a conversation with somebody. I could afford to do that, but I realized that if I didn't pay attention to what I was doing, then I couldn't cook. I couldn't do anything for that matter. I wouldn't know where I had kept the pan and I would be searching by the time, you know, maybe whatever I had kept in the stove would have burnt. So being that mindful is something that I absolutely learned with this vision loss. And I want to thank, you know, my life skills coach, Carla Fraser from Vista Center. How many of you, I don't know, would have had lessons from her? She said something beautiful to me one day. She said, you have to be patient with yourself, Sudha, because I was one, I still do, I have an efficiency bug. Everything has to be done in an efficient way. I'm not quite worried about the effectiveness of it, but it is like, you know, if I'm in the kitchen, I have to be done in 30 minutes. But not having the vision, it was daunting for me to even start. I didn't know exactly how will I keep the pan on the stove and make sure that it is correctly positioned, right? And I slowly realized that when I was actually holding things with my left hand and my right hand knew how to come together, it was, you know, God has created us so beautifully. And if I would keep a plug point, you know, and if I would put the plug in, if I kept my left finger on the switchboard, then my right hand knew how to fix it in the right place. I mean, this is so obvious to many of you, but many of us, I should say now, but at the time when I was learning it, I was like amazed. So every day was a miracle for me that I was experiencing, just being mindful. And so Carla taught me how to be patient with myself. And she also told me one more valuable lesson. She said, no air travel allowed. So I would keep a pan on the stove and the counter would be, you know, on the other side. And I would carry my pots and pans. And there was a great chance of dropping things. And she would say, absolutely no air travel allowed for you. So that was a valuable lesson for me. So I thank Carla for having taught me a very, very important lesson like that. The next letter that I want to move on to is G, give. Be generous. You know, I have the Access Braille is an organization that I volunteer, and I'm a board a director of Access Braille. And one of my friends, who's a founder, Vijay Dilip, I think Rob Turner has worked with her at Benetech. She's an amazing person. She started this chapter, Access Braille. And the way I met her was in one of the satsangs, one of the, you know, spiritual sessions. And she was supposed to give me a ride back home. I didn't know her. And on the way back, she had a meeting to attend to as well. So she said she had to be on the phone call. And she asked me before, you know, what my condition was and why I became, how I became, you know, how I lost my vision and things like that. And I was kind of explaining to her. And as she was going to drop me, she said, you know, have you heard of Bookshare? I said, no, Vijay, I don't know anything about Bookshare. She said, you know, this will enable you to read books. Do you want to check it out? I said, yeah, I'm very happy to check it out. But you said you had to go somewhere and you had to be on a meeting. She said, if I can make a difference in somebody's life right now, why postpone it? I thought that was the most powerful thing that I heard. I said, yes, I will take it right now. And I went and I learned about Bookshare. And thanks to Bookshare, I'm able to read books now. And of course, I use Bard as well to listen to books. But that particular thought actually was the one that enabled me to help out with Access Braille as well. So when she asked me, you know, would you like to help out with an event? And I said, you know, I mean, of course, the first thing that I thought about was, will I be able to do the most efficient job as a project coordinator, like the way I used to be able to do? Now then I don't have the vision. That was my first thought. But after having heard her say, why postpone it when I can make a difference now? I said, maybe there's a message for me here. I have to just embrace what's given to me and do my best. And so I decided to volunteer for Access Braille. Access Braille is an organization that we started out as a chapter for an organization that was started in India called Vidya Vriksha, because it was a mouthful. We changed the name to Access Braille. And primarily we started with distributing universal Braille kits. So it's like a cube that you have where the kids, especially in the rural areas, will be able to learn to read and write Braille on their own with very minimum assistance from somebody sighted. So we started distributing those Braille kits to all over the world, mostly in the developing countries. And wherever, you know, it was not anything that we were actually going out and, you know, trying to promote, but we would hear from people saying that, you know, somebody needs 100 Braille kits in Ghana, then we would ship it out. And somebody needs it in Libya, then we would ship it out. And then we started actually coming up with mobile vans where they were all actually manned by people who were disabled. And they would go from one rural area to another area to give more Braille material and more lessons for those kids who were learning to read and write Braille. And then we also actually shipped these Braille kits on horsebacks and, you know, like in Nepal and all, it was very hard for us to get the transportation using any other means. So we would shipped them on horsebacks. And then we realized that, you know, the Braille kits were not something that people were requiring anymore. And we figured out that there were so many people who didn't have any accessible material in high schools and, you know, in schools and colleges. So we focused on digitization of books. So we have a volunteer base here that actually enables digitizing books. And we also have a group of people in India. We partner with an organization called Worth Trust. And we actually ask them to get the books prepared for digitization. And because these are different languages, over 30 million people in India are visually impaired. So we said we would really have a huge impact even if we have very few books, textbooks, that are digitized. So that's one of the main things that we are doing in Access Braille right now. And then another one that we have taken up is the 3D objects, 3D manipulatives. I'm not quite sure if any of you have touched and experienced the 3D manipulatives. We hear again and again from the college students that, you know, they would like to see, like, the monuments, like the India's monument of Taj Mahal. You know, they want to touch and feel it to kind of get a sense of how it looks, that they can describe to other people if they take up tourism as one of their careers. Or somebody who wants to know something about the anatomy of the human beings and they want to have a 3D of a version of it to kind of feel where, you know, how the skeleton looks or how the intestine looks, whatever. So we get a lot of requests from different corners. And as we get requests, we actually work on so much more on, because we are a very small organization, we are able to work very nimbly and fulfill requirements as they come about. So I know that, you know, my contribution to Access Braille is really a drop in the ocean. But I'm very, very happy that I got an opportunity to do something like that. And, you know, the next letter that I want to focus on is humble. You know, the second year when I started to, when I volunteered at Access Braille, Vijay asked me if I would be, if I could do a music entertainment for the fundraiser. Then I said, you know, I'm not really that skilled, because there are a lot of very skilled professionals that can definitely do a better job than me. And because it's a paid program and I want to make sure that I give the best, and I thought about it for some more time, and I always had this passion for storytelling. So I said, why not I do storytelling combined with music? Then when that opportunity came about, there were a lot of butterflies in my stomach, because I've never done that before. And I said, how am I going to do it? You know, first of all, for me to prepare the material, then I need to be able to read a lot more. I need to be able to research a lot more. So using the technology, and thanks to Lorraine Brown, who's here, who was my teacher, computer teacher, you know, her humility is something that I every day think about and thank her for. And her enthusiasm to teach me actually made me learn all the skills that I needed, the basic skills. I know she spent a lot of hours, and I haven't really mastered most of the skills that she has taught me. And I'm keeping that as a goal for this year for myself, Lorraine. Whatever you've taught me will not go wasted. So using those technologies, what I started to do was to do research. And of course, I have a group of friends and family members, my husband Shankar is here, you know, with their help, I've been able to research the material, and I did my first ever Harikatha, the storytelling, in 2012 on the topic of surrender by giving the story of one of the saints. And the beautiful experience with that particular event for me was that, you know, here I am. I am not a skilled storyteller, and I am not a skilled musician. I'm not a skilled researcher, and I'm not a skilled public speaker either. So And then I have not really put together any of these events before in order for me to say that, yeah, I can do it, you know. I actually kept myself as an instrument, and I started to believe that the divine would help me because I am doing it for a higher cause. When I do it for myself, it's one thing, but when I'm doing it for a higher good, because there are going to be so many students that are going to be helped by whatever I could do here. Because of that, the help came from all corners. Before even I knew, my niece said she would teach me how to sing those songs. And those are all in a different language than that I am familiar with. So a couple of my friends said that they would teach me the language. So I learned the language. I learned the music. And then, because it was the first time and it was a fundraiser, I wanted it to be as professional as possible. So I didn't want myself to be bogged down by just the singing all by myself. So I asked one of my friends if she would help me on the stage, sing with me. And she was readily available. So we would practice for hours together. And then my other friends said that they would be the accompaniments for me. One on the mridangam, it's like a drum. And the other one on the harmonium, it's like a piano. So they were accompanying me on that. And, you know, of course, my family actually helped me with the rehearsals. My husband helped me with the rehearsals. And I had to go for practices somewhere else. And some days I couldn't cook. And so he would take care of the household work. Then I could just focus on this Harikatha. And, you know, the help came from all over the, you know, universe for me. And absolutely I felt that I was truly an instrument. And it was a very, very humbling experience. You know, a lot of times, if you know, you kind of think that, you know, cooking is something that I can do. So when you do it, you're not as thankful and as humble, and you don't think that you're an instrument at that time. But when you have something that you have not done before, and you really have not had taken the time to train yourself, then you understand that the divinity flows through you and the divine hand is helping you every step of the way. And I experienced it. And because of the intoxicating feeling, I went again and again to do fundraisers and to do this kind of a Harikatha. And, you know, one more person that I have to be very, very thankful for is David Emmanuel, and many of you know him as a cane coach for us. And he actually taught me many lessons as we would be walking, you know, and he would be training me. He would say, you know, I would be going around the corner, and then I would be just, you know, searching for the corner, because I, you know, I have a time in my head and I think this is time yet for me to get to the corner so that I can move. And I would be doing it, and I would be frustrating because probably the timing was not right, and it was not the corner yet. So one time he told me, so that you just keep going, and as you come across that corner, you take action. You don't expect to have the corner. Then if you don't find it, then you're going to be frustrated. And this was a very valuable, very, very profound thing that he taught me. You know, in life, you have to have expectations, but at the same time, they have to be realistic expectations. Better would be you have no expectations, you go with the flow, and you accept the world, accept situations the way they are, and then you react to them and you deal with them. But, you know, it is very hard for us goal-driven people to do that. So I think I heard somewhere that it is better to have realistic expectations so that you don't get disappointed. But when you have your expectations met, then you feel a lot more motivated. So I learned that valuable lesson from him. The last one that I want to talk about is being thankful. You know, I always think of the story of Shay. Many of you would have heard this. Shay was an autistic boy, and he wanted to play baseball. And his father was taking him around the park, and he was asking his father, can I go play with them? They're all playing there on the field. The father knew that Shay may not be accepted by the team that was playing, But he still wanted to fulfill his son's wish. So he takes him to the park and he asks one of the players whether Sheikh could play with them. Completely even accepting if they would not take Shay, it would be okay for him, but still he needed to try. So he asked, and the boys say, yes, we will take Shay. And the father is completely thrilled. And he says, the boy says, you know, we only have two more overs and we would have to go and bat the next time. So we will try to give him a batting chance or a fielding chance. So this boy, Shay, is very excited to be wearing, you know, the jersey and the gloves and mittens and whatever, you know, whatever guards that he needed to wear. He was so excited. And he come, and then, you know, it's only two more balls. So the father is not sure that this boy will even get a chance. But they decide to put him on the field. And he cannot even coordinate. She cannot coordinate anything. He cannot even barely, he can barely stand on his own. But he was excited to be in the field. And more so, the father was much more excited. And then the boy also gets a chance to bat, even though this would be the ball that would tell whether the team can win or not. The team actually gives the bat to him. Shay is on the field and he's not able to coordinate once again. And the pitcher throws a very, very slow ball at him. And at the time, Shay is not even able to hit the ball. Again, he throws another ball, soft one. Now Shay is able to hit it. And it goes to the base, first base. And somebody is ready to catch it. But knowing the intention of the pitcher, the fielder doesn't catch the ball. He throws it to the second base. So by this time, everybody is cheering up to Shay, saying that, go to run, run, run. And so he runs to second base. And again, there's another opportunity for somebody to catch it. But again, the ball gets thrown and he goes to third base and he makes the home run. And the entire field cheers up Shay and everybody says, Shay, you're the hero. And they carry him on their shoulders, both the teams. And, you know, run around the block and say that, Shay, you're the hero. You won this game for us. I always feel that I made a hero all the time by people around me, giving me opportunities to shine as much. Even though I may not be the talented one, I may not have everything that I can contribute to, but that is how I feel. And the father felt the perfection of this world that God created is in those people who make people like Shay as heroes. So I feel that the same way that the perfection and the beauty in this world is in all of you who make me a hero. So I remember this SITE acronym, and that is something that I want to live by every minute. You know, if you have any questions for me, I should have said it in the beginning itself. It could have been interactive. So any questions for me, I would like to answer. And I would like to actually, if all of you are okay with it, I would like us to end the session with a 5-minute meditation, if it is okay for all of you.
Probably do questions first.
Yeah.
It's on. This is Don. I just wondered, I know in India you have a number of languages. How many do you have and which ones do you speak?
I think almost every state has a language and there's a dialect as well. So there are close to probably 50 languages, you can say. I mean, because they're some of them are dialects. They're not necessarily languages. But I speak the national language, that is Hindi, and I speak Tamil, that is my mother tongue. That's from the south.
I think somebody over on the near the door had a question. Their hand was up.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share and grow with all of you. So we will just...
We have one question.
Sure.
You said you make textbooks for the visually impaired. Uh-huh. Any particular subject, or is it all subjects and learned in school?
So it's primarily, we've now moved over to the textbooks for the Tamil Nadu schools in India. And we also do, summertime, we do fictions that they would like last year when the Harry Potter books came out, new books came out, then we did, I think 2 years back, we did it. And then, you know, when the Enid Blyton books come out, we do it. Jeffrey Archer books come out, we do it in summertime. But otherwise, it's primarily textbooks, and we do it only in English here as a volunteer group. We do the different languages in India, and we focus primarily on Tamil at this point in time. And we fund different activities. So the one other funding that we do is, there's another organization called Here to Read, which produces text-to-speech software. And so we fund that organization. They are partnering with Carnegie Mellon University and for the different languages in India. So we finished doing it for Hindi, the national language. And we are doing Tamil as the next one. And there are four more languages that are in the pipeline. So we fund that event, fund that particular activity as well.
Suda, this is Lorraine.
Yes.
How many people are involved in this?
Worldwide, I would say, you know, Access Braille has, you know, in terms of the clients you're saying, or in terms of?
Working.
Yeah, so the primarily volunteer base is in the U.S., and we are, I would say, 25 people. And the volunteers in they're not so much of volunteers in India. They are actually, we partner with a company called Word Trust. It's a nonprofit organization that is completely, made possible by the disabled people. They have different disabilities, and some have different mental challenges, and some have some physical handicaps, and those people do the digitization for us in different languages. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Ruben Armenta. I'd like to say first, this is a good thing you're doing. It's really wonderful that, you know, you're helping so many people. And it's good because you come to the point where you've accepted the blindness. It's hard. It's not easy, as you know, and everybody else knows that it's there. But now you get to actually live in a different world of just darkness, not being able to see. But you can hear and still feel and touch and taste and smell. So my world is, because I don't see people, I don't know if you have any sight at all, but now, and like you say, the change is when you see people, everybody looks the same. You all look the same to me, and everybody in my world is beautiful.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome.
And this is what you learn as you come through and live the life as a blind individual. And you learn to love people a little differently and a little more than without being able to see them. Because you can truly see. Because true beauty comes from within.
Yes.
And that beautiful person is there. Most people won't see it. But if you're blind and you hear it and you speak to them, you know. And this is a good thing for people who accept the blindness for what you are given. And it is actually, truly, it is a gift sometimes. You can look at it that way. I've been blessed twice. I'm blind and I'm severely hearing impaired. I wear hearing aids. But if you look at it in that way, then life is a little easier for you. Things can work for you. It's not as bad as it seems. It's only bad if you make it bad for yourself. And this is true. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that wisdom. Yes, I agree with you. Then all your judgments drop when you cannot see, right? Whether somebody is looking good or wearing the right clothes, none of that stuff. You don't have to worry about those judgments. Yeah, and if you don't have to hear much, then you don't have to hear all the bad things that happen around you as well. Only things that you want to hear, you can hear. Awesome, awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Ruben.
Hear no evil, see no evil.
Exactly. I know.
Hi, Sudha. This is Bev Clifford, the person who introduced you and mispronounced Harikata.
No.
Now I know how to say it.
You did a wonderful job, Bev. Thank you.
I am fascinated with your Harikata, and I'm wondering if you ever translate your stories into English and your songs into English and do it for people who can then understand what you're, because I don't know Hindi. Yes. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. That would be a beautiful thing for you to do, to pass on some of your cultural storytelling and singing to this culture.
Sure, sure. That's actually a great idea, Bev. In fact, most of my storytelling is in English. The songs are in the languages of the saints or the sages or people that I'm talking about. In fact, recently I was listening to, I don't know if any of you have heard the audio description biographies from, I think it's a company in Canada. I was listening to Louis Braille's biography. And I was thinking that I should actually do that for the next fundraiser for Access Braille. And kind of, then I was kind of thinking in my head, what music will I have that will be appropriate for Louis Braille's? Because, I mean, thanks to Louis Braille that you have something called Braille now even though I don't read and write Braille, maybe one day I will, but, it's helping so many people. And so I wanted to talk about it. But, definitely, I would be happy to do anything that would be meaningful for the audience. So if there's an interest, then I would do it. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, that seems to be the questions.
How are we doing on time, Victor? All right. Okay. All right. All right. So then, there are a couple of things I would say before we start the meditation. This is called a maypole meditation. This was taught to a person by name Phyllis Crystal, and it was taught to her by my guru, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. And I have been practicing this, and I have found it to be very, very useful for me, mainly because of what Ruben touched upon. Did I get his name right?
Yeah.
Okay, Ruben. So, it's like the love that flows to everyone around us. So this is one mechanism for me to, because I don't want to be listening to news where there's, some tragedy all the time. But at the same time, I want to help it. So when I hear about it, I sit and do this maypole meditation and pass on my love and these energies to that community and that area that has been affected by it. So this is my way of doing the service that I want to do. And I'm hoping that all of you would be able to embrace this as well. So as the name suggests, there is a maypole involved in it. So maypole, so kind of visualize a flag post. And then you can visualize that the flag post has a lot of ribbons in them, different colored ones. Or if colors don't matter, that's fine, different textured one, whatever works for you. And then the one thing that we do at the end of the thing is, at the end of the meditation is to pass on all these energies to other people. So I'm keeping my hand in the namaste pose. Are you all familiar with what namaste pose is? Putting both hands together, right? And then keeping it on your chest. But direct it outward. So as though you are sending it to other people. So kind of flip it 90 degrees, and then send the energy to other people. So we'll get ready for this. So sit on the chair very comfortably. If you're crossing your legs, please uncross. And keep your palms on your lap, facing upward, ready to receive energies Let's take a deep breath in and breathe it out. One more time, let's take a deep breath in. Breathe out all the tension and relax this beautiful company and this beautiful setting. If you would like, you could keep your eyes closed as well, just to be able to go inward. Now, in the center of the room, visualize a big maypole. And from this pole, there are many ribbons that are flowing of different colors, different textures. In your mind's eye, you visualize your higher self, or if you believe in the divine source, the divine source to be on top of the pole. And the ribbons being connected to the divine source, you pick any one of the ribbons and connect to the divine source using that ribbon, and you come back to your sitting position in your mind's eye. Let's ask for relaxing energy from our higher consciousness, high C, through the ribbon. Let's breathe in and receive relaxing energy. Breathe in one more time and receive relaxing energy. We all have some body parts, our mind, our heart, that needs some healing. Let's ask for healing energy. Breathe in the healing energy and let it go to every nook and cranny of your body, every bone, every vein, every chakra, every nadi, every blood vessel, every fiber tissue. Be completely filled with this energy. Let all the diseases go out of this body and mind. Let's breathe in one more time. The healing energy. And let all the diseases out. We need a lot of this healing energy. Let's breathe in one more time. And breathe out all the illness. Let's ask for cleansing energy. Visualize that you're under the shower. Let let this energy shower on you and cleanse your body and mind. Let's breathe in to receive the cleansing energy and cleanse ourselves of any negativity. Let's ask for strengthening energy. You have tough situations to deal with all the time. Let's get the strength, let's get that confidence that the divine is always with us by asking for the strengthening energy and rejuvenating energy. Breathe in and breathe out all the weakness. One more time. Let's ask for the strengthening energy and breathe out any weakness we have. Next, let's ask for unconditional love. Does somebody need water? Do I continue or no?
No, we better.
Well, Sudha, I want to thank you very, very much for a wonderful talk. I think it's one of the most interesting that we've had in a long time. And I really appreciate, you know, it's just a reminder to me of how much talent and creativity we have here in this group. People, I don't think any of us had really any idea of all that you're doing. And so we really want to, again, thank you. Let's give Sudha a real warm round of applause.
Thank you.
All right. Michelle or anybody want to have any, I know we've got the picnic again. Get your picnic reservations in. I think Michelle might have some fundraising announcements, and then we'll take a break. When Michelle is done, we'll take a break, and we'll come back about 10 after 11.
Hi, y'all. I just want to let you know what the items are that we have for fundraising today. And I need to ask you to catch me before 12:15 because I need to leave earlier than usual today. Today we have our usual Welch's fruit snacks, and we have the nut mix back again. The nut mix has almonds, cashews, and cranberries. And those are a dollar each. And we also have the meltaways. And we also want to thank Lorraine. She's our first, she's our June provider of the Cookies of the Month cookie. And this month we have Cappuccino Royale cookies. They include nuts, chocolate, and coffee. And those are also a dollar a bag. And the cookies, the proceeds from the cookies will go to our tech grant fund. Thank you very much. Pardon? We have them, yes. They're here.